It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Most Americans know that police are critical to democratic societies because they enforce the rule of law. And without the rule of law, we would be in a situation where no one would be safe. So we need police to maintain order, to increase civic trust, and to restrain the behaviors of people who would just run amok if there were no law enforcement officers, or if we reached a situation in America where law enforcement officers walked away from their jobs en masse because they did not feel that the society needed them, respected them, or wanted them to be around. Something is happening in America when it comes to law enforcement, and it isn't very good for our society. In many cities, police are turning in their badges. They're leaving their jobs long before they reach retirement age. Some of them leave right after they finish their training to become police officers, which is a year-long process. And these officers, they leave because of a number of different reasons. Sometimes it's poor leadership, a low morale, and inadequate pay. But it's also the fact that they have to confront and deal with citizens every day who may disrespect them. And they have a situation now where it's not a glory job with the high respect that police officers once had. And I'm thinking about my own childhood in America, that there was a time when being a police officer was something that people looked up to. Young kids wanted to be police officers. And I know that there are some who still do, but I would suspect it's not as prevalent today as it used to be. Some states have passed laws that restrict police officers. And over the last 10 years or so, there's been a lot of focus on police brutality. We've had some oversight boards instituted, including one in Nashville. And California just passed one of the strictest use of force laws in the nation. It stipulates that an officer must only use deadly force when absolutely necessary and must exhaust other alternatives first. Joining me today to make sense of the California law and the situation in Nashville is Stephen Jenkins, a former Nashville police officer who served 12 years on the force before resigning recently. Jenkins has a Navy background and has worked in other law enforcement situations, and he's now working as a private detective. He's one of those officers that left before retirement age. And so, Stephen, welcome to the Be the People show.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Stephen, you recently left the Nashville Police Force. What were some of the factors that caused you to make that decision?
There's several factors just added up, and I just decided that it was time for me to move on and go do something else. I grew up in Nashville, so I'm one of the few I can say now that was part of the department that actually had ties to the community and family here. You know, I wasn't a transplant that moved from another state just to take the job. So I grew up here. I went to high school, graduated from high school in Middle Tennessee, and went to college here before I left to join the military. But just over the last few years, it just seems to be like the morale in the department has been declining rapidly. There have been issues with leadership in the department, and there's also things that have been going on with the mayor's office recently, and a lot of people just feel like that they don't have the support that they need from their leaders in the city, and it doesn't appear that it's going to be getting better anytime soon. So I just felt like it was time for me to leave and go do something else.
And I recently read an article that stated that the Nashville Police Department is down about 180 officers, and this is in a city where there are roughly 100 people a day moving to live in Nashville. But anywhere between 80 to 100 people a day are moving to the area, and yet the number of police officers have steadily declined since 2015.
Yes, ma'am. That's a very fair assessment. Our department has been understaffed for a while. I think they said, you know, there's roughly a shortage of about 200 officers now, which a department our size, comparable to other cities, Nashville, I think our department should be staffed at around 2,000 people, and I'd say we're roughly about 1,400 right now. So it definitely creates some cause for concern in the workplace, you know, when you're short-staffed and stuff like that. It definitely stresses people out a lot when they have to deal with certain things at work.
Well, I noticed that James Smallwood, who is the president of the FOP, that he made a statement, I believe, that the shortages are equivalent to maybe like 2.5 precincts, and that for a city the size of Nashville that's growing, and I believe that they base the need for officers on the number of 911 calls, that we are severely understaffed.
Yes, ma'am, no doubt. I know calls for service, you know, like typically officers will get dispatched to a call for service, and depending on what the priority of the call is, would dictate which one they go to first. But a lot of times calls would go unanswered an entire shift before they ever send anybody out to it, just because of the staffing issues. So that's definitely something that, you know, should be looked at, needs to be addressed. But I mean, I think the citizens of the city deserve better. You know, I've actually had conversations with people in the community about that, and they're asking me, you know, why is it taking so long for y'all to get here? And, you know, I don't want to make excuses. I'm not the type of person to make excuses for people. If there's a problem, you know, I'd like to present a solution as well to go with that problem to try to resolve that. But that's just part of it. I mean, they're short-staffed, and they're only able to do what they can with what they have. So,
well, I know that to be true, and I did recently run for mayor of Nashville, and public safety was my number one issue. But during that race, I learned that the dispatchers, the 911 dispatchers, are severely understaffed as well, and that some of the calls that they have don't get answered. In fact, I was told during my visit that the previous week, 611 911 calls went unanswered. So those were calls that never even reached the police department.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah. It's just one of those things where I guess the leaders of the city are going to have to recognize these issues and try to come up with a solution to where something like this doesn't happen. I mean, people can talk about it all day long and say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But unless they put something into practice and are actually working actively towards resolving those issues, I mean, I don't see anything that's going to happen anytime soon.
I agree. Well, we're going to take a break, and when I return, I'd like to hear from you about why you decided to become a police officer.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Stephen Jenkins, and we're talking about policing, particularly in Nashville. And Stephen, during the time I was running for mayor, I spoke with a lot of police officers. I traveled around with to the various precincts. And one of the most fascinating things that I enjoyed hearing was why people become police officers. So would you briefly share What made you decide to become a police officer in Nashville?
Yes, ma'am. I can't say that I've always wanted to be a police officer. It's not something that I, you know, at a young age had dreamed about or anything like that. I'd actually wanted to be a professional baseball player as I was growing up, but that didn't quite work out. So I graduated from high school kind of really unsure of what I wanted to do and went to college for a little while. I started off at junior college, and then I wound up going to Tennessee State University, which is a local university in, here in Nashville. And while I was in college, the events of 9/11 happened, and after that I kind of felt like school wasn't where I needed to be at that time. So I left college to join the military, and I joined the Air Force and left shortly after that happened. Went and got all my training done and everything, and came back home. And from that point, I just had a whole different outlook and a different perspective on things. And I had a friend of mine whose father was a Metro police officer growing up, one of my best friends. He actually retired from the department, and had talked to him about, you know, becoming a police officer and stuff like that. I knew a couple other guys that worked for the department. So at that point, I just kind of felt like, you know, that was the direction I was going, was towards law enforcement, and just felt like I wanted to help people, you know, and make a difference in the city that I grew up in. So applied and got hired with the Davidson County Sheriff's Office. When I was a little bit younger, I think I was 21 when I started there, and I worked there for a few years and decided to transfer, decided that working in the jail was not something that I wanted to do for a long-term career. I'd rather be out on the streets doing stuff. So I transitioned from the sheriff's office to the police department, where I worked in several different areas while I was there.
What was the most rewarding part of being a police officer?
I would say just being able to help people that, you know, were not able to help themselves. I mean, certain people are, you know, you've heard the phrase, I guess, in the past, that all men are created equal. I necessarily don't think that's a true statement. I don't think all people are created equal, because some people are given different circumstances, you know, whether they be born into a poor family or they may have some sort of disability that they're born with or something like that. So I definitely don't think that all people are created equal, but I think everybody has some sort of opportunity that they are presented with during their lifetime. But just being able to help other people that aren't able to help themselves, I think, can just make a difference for them.
Right, and we know that criminals prey on the weak.
Yes,
a lot of times it's the young, it's the elderly, it's anyone they can overpower.
Yeah, that they do. And a lot of people don't see that side of things. Unless you've actually experienced it and have seen it firsthand, a lot of people are kind of naive to what goes on around them. You know, there are good people in this world, but working in law enforcement for the past 15 years has kind of changed my view on things. I don't know. It really makes it hard for you to trust people just because you've seen so much of the bad stuff that goes on. But it's definitely a tough job. You know, it takes a certain type of person to do that job, and you have to have really thick skin and just have a good, understanding of things and be able to compartmentalize everything and separate yourself from it, you know, once you leave work every day. But sometimes that makes it hard.
Well, since you've been in Nashville and you've worked in law enforcement in some form for 15 years, not just the 12 at the police department, when did the changes start to occur that you noticed that affected the quality of life for police officers?
For me, really, I worked in a specialized unit for about 10 years. I worked in a narcotics unit. And so we were kind of like at a different building on our own. We didn't really associate much with the patrol guys. You know, we kind of did our own thing as far as working cases and stuff. Of course, I was working in the undercover capacity, so we weren't really, a lot of the stuff we're doing is going unseen, so people don't really know we're there, so to speak. But I guess back in 2017, we had a supervisor that was under investigation by some federal authorities for stealing money from some of the people that we worked investigations on. And he wound up getting arrested during that investigation. So we got the raw end of the deal on that because it was a team of roughly a dozen people. And all of us, the end result was all of us getting kicked out of that unit and getting sent back to patrol just because of one person's poor choices, I guess you could say. So at the end of the day, I felt like I worked, you know, trying to just go back and think about things. And I'm like, okay, I worked really hard to get over here. And some of the stuff, you know, that I did, I put my life on the line every day. And I'm out here trying to get the bad guys and make good cases and lock people up. And it's like overnight that was taken from me and the rug was pulled out from under my feet. And it's like nobody really cared. You know, they're like, okay, we're just going to send y'all back to patrol. You know, you don't matter to us. But I try to look at it from a leader standpoint and from a supervisor standpoint to where, you know, I try to be in the chief's position and put myself in his shoes and say, okay, why would I have to do this? And I get it. Like, you know, if you have a public corruption case like that, and you got a group of guys that are working for a corrupt supervisor, then I understand where the chief would have a duty to the public to uphold the integrity of the department. You know, so he's got to say, okay, we're going to start from scratch. That way there's no question that anybody else was involved in this, which, you know, we were all under investigation when this was happening, and we had to go get interviews done by internal affairs and all that stuff. So
right.
Well, I understand from the chief standpoint about all this, but I just felt like it was really important to all of us.
Yeah, I mean, you were not treated necessarily as individuals. You all pretty much were treated as part of the group that worked for the bad supervisor.
Right.
Now, tell me about the Civilian Oversight Board. What were your thoughts on that? And do you think that it could improve policing or I would just like to know your thoughts on it, because some people say that that's a factor in police officers leaving.
I think it is. I think from a civilian standpoint, I think civilians feel comfortable with having an oversight board. That way they feel like they have a voice in what happens with the police department. And I understand that. I also, you know, try to understand it from a police officer standpoint as well, being a police officer for 15 years. And I understand a lot of the guys' mentality that they're going to be judged by a bunch of civilians and Monday morning quarterback, so to speak, on actions that they may have to take on the street, where the civilians don't know what they face on a daily basis. They don't understand why they had to make the certain decision that they had to make, you know, and quick decisions too sometimes. Sometimes you have only half a second to make a decision and you just hope it's the right one. You know, you just have to revert back to your training. But a lot of people are leaving because of that. That wasn't one of the factors that, you know, the reasons why I left, that wasn't
right
part of my reasoning. But a lot of officers feel that way, that the Civilian Oversight Board is not a good thing.
Well, let's take a break. And when I return, I'd like to hear any thoughts you have about the new California law.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking, and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with Stephen Jenkins, and we're talking about policing. And even though a lot of this conversation is about Nashville, the topic affects every city, state, and town. And California recently passed one of the strictest laws against the use of force. And so, Stephen, are you familiar with this law? And what are the circumstances that cause police officers to use force? Because there's a sense that police have abused the right to use deadly force.
I am somewhat familiar with the new laws in California. As far as the use of force and stuff goes in law enforcement, it's something that has changed. I mean, even since I've been on, I know initially when I came on, there was a use of force continuum model that they used, and some de-escalation techniques. But typically the level of force that an officer may have to use on something would be determined by the suspect's or the aggressor's actions. So you would have to dictate what level of force you would use based on their actions or circumstances surrounding that.
And I guess, you know, that when there are police shootings or media coverage of an incident, we know that it gets a lot of attention and tends to present, I mean, it's behind all of these changes as well as interactions with minority communities.
Yes, ma'am. As far as all the shootings and stuff that go on, you know, I think being transparent with the public about things is very important. But also, I feel like as far as some of the stuff that happens, you know, releasing certain information until an investigation is complete or people have been interviewed and witnesses and statements recorded and stuff like that, I feel is also only fair to the people that are involved in these incidents as well. I mean, a lot of times I know the media portrays things in a certain way and people may only see one side of something, but a lot of times there's only one side of the story and people aren't seeing all the facts or all the details that led up to a certain circumstance. And that stuff's also important too.
And especially with the videos, cell phone recordings, like the person sees when that person turns on their camera, but not necessarily what happened. They don't see what happened before the camera was turned on. What's your thoughts about body cams?
I think they're a great idea.
I do too.
I think if everybody had a body camera and, you know, I think a lot of complaints would be addressed a lot more quickly. I think people would quit making frivolous complaints if they knew that they were being recorded all the time by the police. I think body cameras are a great idea, and I wish I had one over the last several years, and that would have alleviated a lot of the complaints. You know, I've been complained on several times and been accused falsely of things, and I wish I had body cameras during those instances, and it would have resolved stuff a lot quicker. So
I agree. I think that body cams protect the police as much as the public, and that it should be a priority of the next administration in Nashville.
I agree. I just think one of the issues that they're hitting on is some of the funding stuff for them, because I know, like, as far as downloading all the videos and storing all the information and stuff like that, I'm sure it's very costly. And I don't know if that's been, you know, there's some budget issues, you know, right now with Nashville. I know you're very aware of all that stuff, but I'm sure that's a huge problem as far as keeping all that stuff stored, you know, that basically finding the funding to do all that stuff. But body cams are a great idea. I wish the city would go to those.
Well, we know that the city of Nashville and other cities around the country, they seem to find money to do the things they want to do. And when it comes to law enforcement, we should not be cutting corners. I mean, that's one of the first purposes of government, is to provide for the general welfare. And that would include the police, the fire, the dispatchers. And it's been neglected in Nashville and in other cities. And so I'm hoping that a more aware public would exert the kind of pressure that's needed to bring about changes.
I would agree with you 100%. Just my personal opinion, I feel that education and public safety are two very important factors. And I think that right now both of those things are lacking in Nashville. It's sad, but that's just the facts of it.
Now, Stephen, in the time that we have left, could you tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you or about your new job, whatever you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just recently left the department, and I'm now working with a friend of mine who also retired from Metro Police Department about a year and a half ago. And we're both private investigators with the state of Tennessee, and the company name is Covert Results. And we are basically private investigators on several different types of cases, but doing private investigation and also personal security type stuff. I've got a security background with my military stuff, so we're kind of branching out and doing that as well. So I can be reached at Steven, Steven, at covertresults.com.
And we will link to your website. And I appreciate so much your taking the time today to talk with us about policing. And I wish you the best in your new career. Well, folks, we know that policing is important to our society and how we treat them and how we treat each other. And it's up to us as Americans to make sure that the rights of our fellow citizens, the rights of police officers, and that the duties of government are performed. And so I'm calling on you once again to be the people who stand up for this great nation. Until next time.